All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It's The Usual Suspects on a Wednesday. Way back Wednesday as it may be. Barry is out all week, as we mentioned to you, doing some comedy at a festival in Los Angeles. Therefore, we've had a plethora of guest hosts, and none better than the one we have sitting right here in with us today. Lance Zierlein with Nick and myself as we get ready to get the final 60 minutes on the clock and continue to roll on. If you missed anything, go back and check Podcast Arena. Way back Wednesday, by the way, a little different this time around. Instead of us making our list and you guys voting on the theme and the songs, we are playing a little guessing game today. Progressively, it's supposed to get harder as the hours go on, but we play the songs, you guess the theme and why we picked it. Hour number one was fighting due to the D-Hop fight, DeAndre Hopkins with the Niners today. Hour number two was basically climbing back from a hole or from being down because of the fact that the Astros have sucked recently. Hour number three.
Does that count, This or That by Black Sheep? Does that count as one of the songs?
Got to be pre-2008.
No, we remove. So the first hour and the third hour of the show, we have to play that intro.
So we remove
that as one of the songs that. So there's only seven songs in the first hour, eight songs in the second
so
hour.
So that song you just played as
That's
an intro does not count.
Our intro music every day. So starting with as we go to break in this first segment, we'll start breaking out. This one's going to be the toughest one. And Nick, I dare say, I don't know that anybody's going to get this one.
Yeah, this is because it's kind of an old, I don't even want to give any clues.
Yeah, don't. I was going to say easy. Let's make it as hard as possible first and see if people, Mike, you heard what I said. Let's make it as hard as possible and then we'll take it from there based on how people react. You know, because some like it hard, Lance.
Did you, ignoring you, did you just refer to us as underwear? LOL. Joel, did you refer to listeners as underwear?
I said our suspects are like a quality pair of jockey underwear. They're supportive, but they don't ask for anything from you in return, like Gilbert.
Like Duluth Trading Company, where they don't squeeze you real
tight. Yeah, they don't squeeze you.
Those are
supportive.
Those are legit. No, by the way, those are legit
boxer briefs.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
You like them, huh?
Yeah.
Second skin type thing?
Yeah, but it doesn't,
You don't have to do the hand gestures because you are on TV as well.
It's good.
Using the whole fist doc?
Bad Hombre Victor says, who was your Gilbert caller on 790? That was Gilbert, was the Gilbert caller.
Yeah.
That was a real guy. There's nothing about him that's not real.
No, that's the weird thing, too, is that people think we make up Trey and Gilbert and OU Mike and all these different people. Not a single one is made up. And in most cases, we don't have to spur them on at all. Like, even with Trey, I mean, we had some fun with him with movie moments with Trey and other things. But overall, Trey's just Trey.
But, yeah, I mean, Gilbert has been around way before I even became a listener. I thought he was younger. I didn't realize his age. I figured he was, like, in his 20s or early 30s or something.
Gilbert's
like that.
In his 50s.
I thought he was in his 40s, so he's in his 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, have you seen him?
I've seen him, but I gave him mid-40s.
When you see him, am I accurate in saying he doesn't look like he sounds?
Gilbert is 58 years old.
No, he is not.
Swear to God.
He is not 2 years away from 60.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really?
He's somewhere between 56 and 58 years old.
Now, here's the other thing, because we have these little idiosyncrasies.
Y'all know he knows every 70s song ever, right?
Yeah.
Had no idea, honestly.
Yeah. No, he's like Trey is with NASCAR.
Trey was NASCAR,
Gilbert, 1970s. Hit music. Like, he didn't listen to you guys, so there's no way we can talk about him forever and he won't just call in.
Right.
But if you can say number one song in October of 79, and it takes him about 4 seconds and he'll give you the number one song. Now,
Neil Diamond, September Morn.
Yeah, he'll know. It's unbelievable. It's just like when Trey, people who know that kind of stuff, have you seen the little kid? Have you seen the little kid who is doing the Astros batting stances?
Yes.
Have you seen that video?
Yeah, little blonde kid.
Man, that's incredible to me because this is a little 2.5-year-old kid who's got his little plastic bat, his little home plate, and his parents are calling out Astros. Now, he's doing everything left-handed, But he's got all the little mannerisms down. Stuff like that I get all excited about. When people have this special talent, like Trey's memory of NASCAR stuff.
Who won what race, what year, who was
finished
second,
third.
Yeah, all
what,
that.
What happened? Were there any, you know, infamous stoppages in the race? Or that's the race whenever you had to, you know. I heard you do a pretty good Trey imitation, actually, now that I think about it.
Oasis. Oasis is my favorite group of all time. Oasis. It doesn't. My Bloody Valentine's my favorite group, but it's Oasis. It's Oasis.
I was like, "What's exactly like?"
I said, "Are you a Tame Impala fan?"
Yeah, LZ, I'm a big time Tame Impala fan. You know that group?
I'm like, yeah, I know Tame Impala. I got a couple songs downloaded.
Yeah, they're pretty. I like them. Yeah, they're pretty good.
When you hear Oscar De La Hoya, I know, a little bit.
So anyway, whenever I was watching NASCAR, I was really excited to see all the NASCAR guys fight.
Like, why, Oscar? Why?
Oscar De La Hoya.
And again, because every one of them have their own little kind of quirky features or characteristics.
No, you
right?
got to be impressed with his references. Like when I took him into the side studio one time to just prank call.
Yeah.
Random
Dude,
people.
Trey knows a lot of stuff now.
He does.
His knowledge about Back to the Future, which was, he's only 23. It's like way before his time.
He knows races well before he ever started racing.
It's impressive. It's impressive.
But then you get OU Mike. OU Mike texts in, okay, here's my guess. Carmelo and I will fight when I find out if Lala tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios.
That was a quote
Mike,
from.
Well, that was what the whole thing.
KG, right?
With Kevin Garnett. Right. And the big thing there is OU Mike's knowledge of hip hop and pop culture and the way he can reference things. He'll call in and he'll recite lyrics from a hip hop song. He'll just sing the whole song. And we're just like, how'd you know that?
It doesn't come out. Yeah. You don't think
it's great when he does it, but it's again, you have to mix in that with a lot of really racist or over the top offensive.
Yeah. I heard some of that. Who's your favorite Rocket that you've ever, like, as a dude? Who's your favorite dude that you ever dealt with the Rockets in all your years?
There's
in?
A
player,
lot of them.
Player, I'm talking about.
And you know this as well. One of them for sure is Brent Berry.
Really?
John Berry. Both.
Oh,
both
well, Brent Berry's was never a Rocket, was he?
Yes, he was.
Wait, Brent Berry was a
Brent
Rocket?
Brent Berry was a Rocket.
When the hell was Brent Berry a Rocket?
After John, obviously.
For how long?
They courted him in free agency, and he went back to the Spurs for a year, and then he ended up coming here.
Dude, I do not remember Brent Berry.
You can look it up. I actually know this. You're asking me questions because I lived it. I went to concerts with Bones. We did all these.
I remember it, too, because it was after that time where he kind of jumped. He did that dunk contest from the free throw line in the warm-ups or whatever. It was after that.
Yeah.
It wasn't before that.
He was
it was after that.
Yeah, but no, he was a Rocket. We went and saw lots of concerts over.
So he was one of your favorites?
Oh, he's a great, great dude. And he would be, you'd love him too, because I'm like John, because John wasn't afraid to say anything on the air.
No.
When we set up the players' shows that John had on radio with Brent, like he literally came to me one day and he was like, bro, we got to talk because I got all these ideas for TV features that we can do. I was like, all right.
Really?
And right off the top, he goes, I got this idea where we set up hidden cameras in a bathroom. I'm like, okay, right off the top. Right off the top.
That's
bone,
actually illegal.
That's where something we could all go to jail for.
Yeah,
and he goes,
no,
illegal. Like that. He goes, I want it to be like a bathroom, but I want it to be where like there's four urinals. And I want us to be filming when the first guy goes into the urinal. And then I want Yao to walk in, and I want Yao to get as close to the guy as possible, and Yao use the urinal right next to him and make him feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, it's funny if it was HBO, but I don't think Rockets TV that's going to go over.
Nah, you can't do that.
But he was great on all that
Bear
stuff.
Bear was here his last year in the NBA. Yeah. 56 games, yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
I would have never thought that Brent Berry would say something like that, because I didn't hear that story until Joel told me about it. But everything I remember from Brent Berry is that he has like an incredible basketball IQ.
Oh, he does that too. That's
like
the reason
he's a really
why he does
smart basketball
TV.
Player. I didn't think he had, like, that personality.
His dad was notorious for that, too, and notoriously cranky.
Well, I mentioned that on the air as well, too, because they don't really care for their dad a lot.
No, John, I think they both have. So who else? Brent Berry,
Brent
probably
has
John.
Softened a little bit, but John, I believe, is still. And John has that personality, too, where if you rub him the wrong way, he's going to.
John got really pissed at Rockets fans because Rocket fans are yelling and screaming at him. And after, because you remember when he was talking about the Clippers choking the game six as opposed to the Rockets winning. So he was here for the broadcast, and Rockets fans were just dog cussing him.
Yeah,
and he was so pissed off. We got him on the air because I saw him, and he goes, hey, you still doing radio? I said, yeah. He goes, I want to come on your show and address this whole thing. Why? I've got an opinion that the Clippers choked and I'm somehow public enemy number one. He's like, they did choke. I'm like, yeah. I said, yeah, the Rockets made plays too.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they did choke a little bit. I mean, both things actually happened. But Matt Thomas always told me Corey Brewer was just a fantastic dude.
I told a story the other day. Brew is one of the nicest guys. Brew was living over here after he got traded.
Yep.
He would go through the, you know that Smoothie King over there on the corner?
Yeah.
He'd walk through the drive-thru. And if you talk, and Raheel was talking about the fact, Brew plays pickup leagues. I've seen him everywhere from Fondy to otherwise, just getting a good run in. He still lives here in the offseason.
Does he?
Corey Brewer is fantastic.
Good dude.
Demo's a great guy. There's a lot of great guys. That Kyle Lowry, people didn't think about it because he didn't like the media a lot when he was here. Kyle Lowry's still one of my a good friend of mine.
Kelvin Cato?
I got along with Cato fine.
Did you really?
Yeah, but Cato's one of those guys.
Cat?
Cat as well.
Good.
Yeah, but Cato's the guy that came to me.
How about Stevie?
I got along with Stevie great.
Actually, my kids saw Steve Francis. He was there with his kid. They were playing with his kid at the YMCA, and yeah. They said, do you know Steve Francis? Said, yeah. He goes, we were talking to Mr. Francis. He was great. We were playing basketball with his son and all this stuff. They loved him.
Yeah, I always got along with Steve, too. But the Cato thing was everybody hated on him because of the contract and what happened. But I tell a story all the time. We were walking on the runway to get to the plane to take on Phoenix last game of the regular season with a chance to make the playoffs as the 8 seed. And all the guys are jacked up. We just had a big home win. I'm like, Cato, you jazzed for this? And he's like, no. I'm like, what?
That's why why I didn't like him.
We win, we're in. He goes, Joe, I'm going to tell you something right now. He goes, bottom line to me is basketball is the way I could make the most money.
You just
money.
Told me everything that I thought about Cato. You just confirmed.
You can see it on the court.
He
you
said
can see
to me, his lack of effort. He goes, I don't love basketball, but I knew it was where I could make the most money.
Shocking. Cato didn't love
didn't
basketball.
Make me a he goes, doesn't make me a bad guy. He goes, that's just, I could take care of my family. I could make money, but I don't really love basketball. And I just sat there shaking my head going, wow.
Oh my God.
That was kind of a reality check, wake up call for me there.
Are Violent Femmes part of the...
Yeah.
Was this part of the... Okay.
Yeah. It's part of a theme for hour number three. All right. We're going to continue to roll on. See if you can piece it together on a Way Back Wednesday. Theme and why. Hour number three. We said it'd get tougher, and it is. But we'll be back with more. It's Lance along with Nick and myself, Unusual Suspects. 94.1 ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Didn't say that happened. Nick Lance, that's off the air. That's between you and I. Oh, if only... First, though, you guys would have a lot more information, but we're back on the air, and it's Nick, and it's myself, and it's Lance Zierlein. As we continue to roll on in a very enjoyable guest host week on The Usual Suspects, Lance filling in today, Raheel tomorrow. Yeah, the week has been Raheel, Randy McAvoy, yourself. Raheel gave himself 2 days. He just decided one was not good enough. He was taking two right off the top.
Okay.
So Raheel again tomorrow, and then one of Barry's friends who has been on the show before, a very funny comedian named Jerry Rocha, is going to be on Friday.
Okay.
Those all meet your approval?
Yeah. I don't know Jerry Rocha, but...
He's a funny guy. Good guy. He'll be there. He'll be with us in studio because he's in town performing. So he will be joining the show and then performing this weekend.
Good.
So, yeah, we're doing all right. We got Adam on the line. He wanted to get in on these on the DeAndre Hopkins situation and comments. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I just had a question about D'Angelo Hall's comments. Did you get a chance to catch that on First Take?
Which ones? I mean, D'Angelo Hall was, going from...
Wait,
you're talking about the ones where he was propping up OBJ and D-Hop was like, no disrespect to OBJ, but... Basically, stay in your lane, D'Angelo Hall. Is
yeah,
what you're talking about?
And he said that if you ask 100 DBs, who would they rather take? And they would rather take OBJ because he's more explosive, quicker, faster, better feet.
That's true. I mean,
do you think that is an accurate statement?
Just no question.
Studying film like you do.
That's not even remotely close. I mean, Odell Beckham is an incredibly explosive, athletic guy. Can he stay on the field? Is he going to flip out on you? Is he going to get along with his teammates? Because that stuff matters too. DeAndre Hopkins plays. He contributes. He's durable. And he gets along with other guys. I mean, here's the thing with DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is not fast. He's not elusive. He is the preeminent combat catch specialist.
He's physical, and if you give him one thing over OBJ, it's close, but his hands...
His hands are even better than OBJ's.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can call him... Now, what D'Angelo Hall said is accurate. From an DBs hate covering guys that they can't stay with. You can stay with DeAndre Hopkins. You just got to get in a fist fight with them, you know, to battle him. Players will always choose the guy who's the more explosive athlete because it makes their life harder. But an older player who doesn't run as well can at least stick with DeAndre Hopkins. Now, how do you handle it when he posts you up? DeAndre Hopkins plays the game like a basketball player. He understands how to control space. So basketball player understands angles. He understands where he can get you on his hip. He understands how to swivel his hip and keep you in that same position. DeAndre has great feel for body control, body positioning, and owning small spaces. He does a fantastic job of extending his arms, just like a first baseman will extend his arm to try to make a catch on a double play to end the play quicker. And then his hands are exceptionally big and strong. So when it comes to contested catches, he can control the airspace, and he can make those tough catches. But those are two different flavors of ice cream. I mean, the Odell Beckham types, that's what you look at with like Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, who just came in the league from Alabama, is going to be in Atlanta. He's going to be that guy. Jordy Nelson has a little bit more. Now, he's faster than DeAndre Hopkins, but he had more of DeAndre Hopkins, I think. You know, the big physical ability to win catches.
But he made his money on precise route running.
Yeah. No, Jordy Jordy was. It's almost like there's three different flavors. I mean, Odell Beckham is one of those guys who combines great ball skills with great explosiveness. That's why when he's at his best, he might be the best wide receiver in the league, along with Antonio Brown. I mean, those two.
Julio Jones?
Julio, too. I mean, Julio, this is a great time for wide receivers. Yeah. It's one of the best times for wide receivers, probably in the history of the game. It's not talked about much, but it really is. When you look at young receivers, we're not talking about Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is special, but he's a problem.
You think literally with it, and again, this kind of gets into...
I don't know what's going on with them right now.
Because you see and obviously if we're following Hard Knocks, you see all the things that they're doing with the receivers, the stuff they're still dealing with receivers. But the fact of the matter is, I was thinking about it last night, if you put Landry on one side and Josh on the other side, you're like, oh my God. Whoever quarterbacks would be giddy.
Yeah. And David Njoku, their tight end, the up-and-coming athletic tight end.
Yeah, big first preseason game.
I mean, you got three different guys that you can threaten with. One's a possession receiver. One's a deep ball specialist and a tremendously explosive height, weight, speed player. And the other one is a freak daddy athletic tight end that is going to be difficult for certain guys to match up with physically. You got the makings of a team if they don't implode from within because their coaching staff doesn't get along.
Well, you can see that.
You can see it on Hard Knocks, though. I
want to get into Hard Knocks anyway, but you're absolutely right. And the thing that you and I were talking about off air was exactly what I've seen from the get-go. You can tell that Dorsey as the GM didn't pick Jackson as his head coach. And you can kind of start seeing what people are talking about when they say, hey, he was one of those guys that's a really good coordinator. He's a good offensive mind, but he's not a head coach. He's not a guy that a lot of players respect. You can see why.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a lot of that. Yeah. I think you would think Dorsey, it's only a matter of time before Dorsey gets his guy in there. You think that Haley was his guy?
I mean, he was leaving Kansas City, I think, when Dorsey came in. So I doubt it. But might have been. I don't know their relationship.
He's a proven offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but
we
I don't know a relationship where they had. I think Haley was gone when Dorsey came in because he came in because it was
Pioli.
But
I'm just curious. He didn't get, you know, when you say the whole Parcells thing, if you want to have a say so and vice versa.
When did Haley come in? This year?
Is this his first year in Cleveland?
I think that's a Hugh hire, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
I might be wrong. That's dangerous to walk into. You know where you might be right is if Todd Haley, a veteran coordinator, walks into a situation that everyone knows could be a one-and-done situation. Why would you do that if you're Todd Haley?
You might get consideration for the head job.
Yeah, or if you got a three-year deal guaranteed. A lot of times it's only two. But if you got three guaranteed, you'd be like, yeah, I'll go in there. We'll
talk about volatile personalities on both sides of the ball.
Oh, my God. You got Haley and Greg Williams?
Yeah. two it's of the good. Most dictator-like, demonstrative, opinionated.
Greg Williams scares me.
Oh, no doubt.
There's nothing fake or phony. Like, he's that guy. And
if you don't remember, he's also the guy with the Saints. With Bountygate. So, you know, he's got a reputation. But you take those two guys, and then you expect a guy like Hugh Jackson to control them. And even in the first meeting in Hard Knocks, when you're like, you know, that's why I'm where I am, guys. Because, you know, this is my team. I'm going to do it my way. I'm like, good luck with those two guys. Crazy.
Gonna be an issue.
And it's gonna get even better on Hard Knocks. I love it. I mean, I love it. I asked you if you had caught up.
I did. I've watched the first two. Last year was the first time I didn't watch Tampa.
Or the Tampa was okay. Well, you know, remember Nelson Louise was our PR guy.
Yeah.
So I watched to see if we could see Nelson. A few times.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't miss him if you see him in a shot. Right. If you know what I'm saying. But the Rams was the one I was like, I wasn't interested. But this year I'm into it. It's good stuff.
No, it's really good stuff. I love, and it's so well done. I love sports documentaries. That's why Last Chance U, we've got the head coach Jason Brown on the bench on Friday at 8:30 a.m.
Nice promo.
He is a train wreck on the show.
But that's
that
great
show's
radio.
A train wreck. But I got to tell you something. When you watch season one, season two, and season three of JUCO football, Last Chance U, where some of these talented knuckleheads are there, it is a train wreck that is hard to turn away from.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got 30 minutes still to go in the big show. It's Lance joining us. It's Nick and myself, and it's Way Back Wednesday and all that. We're on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a while now. You know, there's still people digging out from the hurricane, and a lot of people need help. So when someone comes by their driveway, knocks on their door, you expect that if they have a truck that's labeled that they're going to do roofing for you. Well, you want to do business with someone that can help you. But time and time again, we're hearing about storm chasers, deposit thieves, people that are taking your money and never doing the work. Well, let me give you someone that you can call and trust. It's Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated, and what they do is they take care of all your roofing needs, from the quality shingles that they use to the service after the sale and the way that they install your roof. They're going to do a great job. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the entire country have businesses that are able to obtain this elite status. They have it. Like I said, they use CertainTeed shingles, and their base warranties are longer than your average roofer. On top of all that, they're dedicated to Houston, which means they give 10% of their profits back to a nonprofit they started called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people that need roofing but can't afford to pay for it. It's just another way that they give back. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star rating on Facebook and Home Advisor. And by the way, if you call them, they do free, no-obligation inspections with nothing on the hook for you except for dealing with people that can make a difference and get you the roof that you need at the right price. Check out FitzRoofing.com, or you can call them at 832-521-3001. That's 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Final half hour. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Lance Zierlein sitting in for Barry, who's on vacation all week doing some comedy in L.A. Nick is here. I'm here. We're having fun on a Way Back Wednesday. If you missed any of it, check the podcast. And as we like to do it around here, we also know we play the name game on a daily basis where we call two names. If one of those is yours and you're the first caller to call in, you get the prize. Today's prize was a pair of tickets to the Ziegenbach Music Festival. Don't miss the 16th Annual Music Festival at Sam Houston Race Park. It's Saturday, September the 29th. You can see Randy Rogers, Pat Green, Casey Donahue, Reckless Kelly, Roger Krager, Kevin Fowler, and many more perform. If you do so desire, you can get tickets for that online. But we gave away a pair of tickets today. Charlie gave away that prize to Daniel. He was nice enough to stop in. We met Daniel along the way. He texted his thanks. Great to meet you, Daniel. Congratulations. Enjoy that. And you won today's prize. So if you want to participate, listen every day. And one of the shows, we'll give it away. That's the way we do it around here. How about that, Lance?
I like it.
What do you got over there?
Taxes. I'm just finishing some taxes.
Seriously, so don't let a good show get in the way.
Well, you
got
a 35 minute
promo for Roger Krieger.
Krieger, say it right, country boy. Nick knows that. He's a two-stepper.
No, he's not.
Nick has converted himself into being a two-stepper. When we started this show, he was not even sniffing it. He found out that there was some good ass at the country bars, started to teach himself a little two-stepping.
Is that right?
And he is now an aficionado.
They were the ones who were actually encouraging me to do it. It was because
Barry is a two-stepper.
Oh, Barry used to instruct it.
He used to teach it
at the bar.
What are you talking about?
Barry Laminek has done every he's been.
You name it, he's done it.
Yeah, has he really?
In every industry. Yep.
Yeah.
He was a two-step instructor.
Yeah.
I learned from a girl who I was going to tutor. I didn't know even growing up in Richmond, Rosenberg. One would think I would learn that in third grade. Now we did learn. The Cotton Eye Joe and the Shottish. That was part of PE in fifth grade. You just learned that. But I learned from actually somebody who's a lawyer here. She went to Tulane. She was a year older than me, Mary Parsons. She is
Chandler's sister.
Not Chandler's sister.
Oh, okay.
And she is she lives here still. She was from Houston. We bonded because she was from Houston. I was from the Houston area. Mm-hmm. I called Richmond Rosenberg. Oh, I'm from Houston. What part of Houston? More like Pecan Grove type of, you're out, out by Richmond Rosenberg? Yeah, Richmond. Houston-ish.
That's Richmond.
Yeah, it's Richmond. That's Richmond, Texas. So I had a girl teach me how to two-step at a bar in New Orleans. That was a little different. I haven't had to use
was
it all
pretty?
Lot, I'm being honest. Yeah, she was fine.
So then there's nothing wrong with it.
No, she's a very successful lawyer right now.
I don't care
fact,
what she does for a living, Lance. If she's teaching you how to dance.
No, see, I like the people. I like what's inside. I like their personality. No, oh. I like the personality. I like the people. I like who you are. I don't judge the other stuff like you guys do on the quote-unquote suspects, as you call yourself. You know why? It's because your character is suspect. That's what I'm finding out here.
So now you're a suspect.
Now you become
the Blitz.
Now because you're a suspect, as somebody would say.
Now you got all your sons of benches.
Uh-huh.
I like that
With your bench warmers. Mm-hmm. And yet you're going to take shots at us and our listeners? No, that's not going to fly.
You know, our show was called The Bench at 6'10", and then management who came in were not good. They were like, we had great ratings, and we had built this thing up.
Who was the management at the time? Was it Gavin or was it?
No, it was before
Ryan.
Gavin.
Oh, before Gavin.
It was before Gavin. They weren't gone much. They were gone shortly after John and I left. Within a year and a half of me and John being gone. I don't know if you knew the guy.
Well, this is Bill.
That's
thank you.
And so anyway, we had this show called The Bench, and we started. We had bench warmers, and we had a two-minute drill. We had a bench-type theme, and people would call in at the end of the show. People caught lightning rod or whatever. We were doing it in 97. So we had
still never been done before.
This thing that was – we got it from CNN.
So you stole it.
We got it from CNN, okay. The TV show. I can't remember
Don
the guy.
Don Lemon?
Nah.
Anderson
Come on,
Cooper?
The Italian-looking guy who did sports.
Oh, Vince Cellini.
Vince Cellini.
You're welcome.
So Vince Cellini was doing it, and you can imagine how that went on live television. Just letting people say whatever they want.
Fred Hickman get in there?
No, not Fred Hickman. Okay. Fred Hickman was not on there.
All right.
So anyway, we built this thing up, and this guy and management came in, and they just wanted to put their own. Instead of just riding on something that was already successful, they tried to add a guy to our show, and the ratings went down 65%.
Who did they add?
They were a small. He just didn't fit with our show.
Man. And they told the Texans did he fit with
none. And they told the Texans this is going to be your play by play voice, and they're like, no, it's not. We're not going to have him as play by play voice. Like, yes, it is. And 6'10" had to pay whoever the play by play voice is.
Right.
So they said, we got to give him a show. He's going on with John and Lance. So now we're changing the bench to John, Russ, and Lance. I'm like, great. Listeners hated him. Ratings went in the toilet. And like four big advertisers got together and said, yeah, if you don't take him off that show, we're taking all of our money off. It would have been close to about $1 million. And they're like, let's make some changes. Let's change the and it took us 2 years to get our ratings back. It was unbelievable how long it took.
But that that's a product of old school Houston. Once you're ingrained in the community, you're not going anywhere. You're a part of Houston. You think about that too, because through all the different name changes on television, it was the same way. If you get someone that was old school, that was a part of how the Oilers used to do it, that's why Russ still had a job.
Oh yeah.
Russ was Oilers, so Russ was going to be Texans.
Yeah, but the Texans said, no, that's not going to happen. And guess what? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And they were like, well, we got to let you go then, Russ, because we got to – whoever they want as a voice of the team, we got to hire him as a radio guy. And so that's how that –
So then they force-fed you Mark Vandermeer?
No, I liked Mark. Mark was
Mark's
on our
show.
Mark's
a great guy.
Mark was – they had to put 1 hour because Jim Rome was a big deal then. So it was 1 hour before Rome was Mark, 1 hour after Rome was Mark. So Mark had kind of a pain-in-the-ass schedule. But I remember doing for Mark a little bit of what I did for you – Mark and I were at the gym shooting at, off Augusta at YMCA. We were just shooting baskets, and I gave him a rundown on Houston sports history. Like, here's what you got to know. You know, Phi Slamma Jamma. Then once again, this is like 2001,
right?
And I said Phi Slamma Jamma was a big deal. Blah blah blah. The Rockets, the championships were huge. Ralph's big turnaround shot in midair against the Lakers. You know, they had a hard time beating the Celtics. Ralph got in a fight against Jerry Seastein. Like, it was a we would just spend like an hour just shooting shots and talking about Houston sports just to try to help him acclimate to the history of – because I've always thought if I ever went to another city, like I had a chance to go to San Francisco and take a job there in the summer of 2014. And I almost went and I turned it down. And one of the things that really made me nervous was, man, I'd have to learn the A's, the Giants, really the San Francisco Giants. That's a really big deal there. I didn't worry about the Warriors. They were a known commodity to me. Raiders, and I didn't, but the baseball, after the Astros had been so down and baseball was basically dead to me for a few years, I was going to have to relearn baseball with teams that I didn't even follow, the A's and the Giants, other than the Giants won the World Series then. But, they couldn't hire me in Chicago. They couldn't because Chicago's so provincial and Boston's so provincial. And to an extent, New York is so provincial.
Obviously, New York. But next to New York, Boston is the most volatile.
Yeah, but if you're not from there, they don't want you.
Oh, no.
You better know all the history.
And you better be a homer.
And Chicago's the same way. They expect you to be from there.
Yeah.
They expect you to be from there.
And not a suburb of Chicago, like
Houston,
Milwaukee.
You can be from wherever you want in Houston
Radio. I
took
that from your boy Caliendo.
What's that?
I'm from a small suburb of Chicago called Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. What is it? You're about an hour away, right?
Yeah. Between an hour and 90 minutes. And Frank's from a
Caliendo used to do stuff for 1560, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Caliendo's tied with Lance.
16, yeah, we got started with him like 99. One of the best things he's ever done was with
Rapid
us.
Rapid Fire, whatever you called it, was one of the greatest things ever where they just...
You can find it. Like, we should play it sometime. It was literally Frank... I said, okay, I've got a list of about 14 or 20 different people that you do imitations of here on a piece of paper. And go. And he started, well, John.
You wouldn't tell him or he
no,
would?
No, he wouldn't know. And I said, Al Michaels. He started talking as Al Michaels. I said, talking about Willy Wonka or from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And so he had a theme to work off Willy Wonka and the Oompa Loompas are great. And then like George Bush,
Nick,
Jim Rome.
Find
I didn't hear it.
It
was
find
un-
it.
It was
and
unbelievable.
Any name that he'd throw Robin Williams and he'd go right into Robin Williams.
He said it's the greatest thing I've ever done.
Lance would just keep throwing names at him and he'd just go into that next voice. It is fantastic. We've got one more segment to go in the big show. It's gone by very fast, probably because you got here late, but we do appreciate it. Lance's got one segment with us, then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. So don't go anywhere. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. You know Mattress Mac is entrenched in this community. When anything goes wrong in this community, he tries to help and make a difference. Well, he also tries to make a difference when it comes to your furniture shopping. That means he wants you to come to Gallery, and he's going to make sure that he steers you in the right direction. That means from the convenience of now having three locations in the city to better serve you, to giving you the deals that he talks about all the time, to great customer service, to delivery that comes as soon as he says it's going to be there, within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, no back order slips, all solid wood, American-made furniture from brands like Stickley, leather furniture, upholstered furniture, furniture for every room in your house. He has it. He does business like that, and he wants to make you happy. So that way, you can tell your friends, and every time you need furniture, you know there's only one place to shop. He's got those three locations I talked about, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. He's got the Galleria, and of course, he's got the mainstay, I-45 North exit, Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you choose, same great deals, same customer service, same service after the sale, and also those Astro deals like the one he did last year, where in terms of
of the Astros. If they win it all, you get it all. You buy $3,000 or more with the bedroom furniture, including Tempur-Pedic and other brands. If the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get all that furniture for free. He will refund your money. That's the way he does business. He has a little fun with it along the way, but he takes care of Houstonians. And again, like he says, it's exactly like they do, which means what you see is what you're going to get within 3 to 4 hours of what you see on the showroom. If you buy it, it'll be at your front door. There are no back order slips. And what Max says all the time is extremely important and always true. Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Before we take care of business, and as an extra treat, we do have that Frank Caliendo audio that we were just talking about, so you guys are going to have a treat on your hands with that. But before we get to that, I do want to tell you one more time about the Texas Can Academies, and Texas Can Academies doing great stuff in the Houston area. Fantastic in the way that it's Houstonians helping kids in the H-Town area in a time of need. Basically, if you got a vehicle laying around collecting rust and dust, a car, a truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, trailer, whatever you got, if it's running, if it's not, it doesn't matter. You just don't want to pay for a tow truck and you want to get rid of it and get it off your property. All you do is pick up the phone. You call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. They come to you. They ask where you live. They bring a tow truck. They take away the vehicle. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins. Because the process then is taking that donation and turning it into resources. So kids that need eyeglasses, book money, bus fare, warm meals. If they don't have those things, they're distractions. And it's hard to focus on the books. When they have them, they focus on getting their education. And the process works to a T. That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to see. And therefore, if you have something that you've been thinking about donating, or maybe that you can, we ask that you try and reach out and see if you can make a donation. 713-225-4226, carsforkids.org. Right off the car, not the kid. All right, so you found the audio. I mean, I was a loyal listener even back then, and you and I have been friends a long time. That is, without a doubt, one of the greatest bits anyone's ever done, let alone you guys. I know other people kind of try to come in and snipe in on Frank, but Frank was your guy before he made it big, before he did the NFL stuff, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's a Wisconsin guy, so I'm a fan anyway. Mm-hmm. But I saw him, because of you guys, I saw him in concert several times here doing his stand-up. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and you know, now put this into perspective, obviously. This is done, man, I want to say, it might have been 1999.
Like you mentioned, Rome was big. Rome was really big. Put him on the map.
It would have been about 17, 18 years ago. So some of the you'll hear, obviously, his Madden was really, really huge. But so you'll hear imitations that are a little dated, I would say, but not terrible.
Still like relevant.
George Bush was real. That was when he had just developed George Bush. Yep. Jim Rome, he just started developing, I think. So here's the old sound from when John and I were at 6'10".
Are you ready for the challenge?
Yeah.
There we go. 10 different voices. You don't know who it's going to be. And then you just have to go off.
Well, your voice sounded back quick, then, too.
In between, Lance will be throwing the names at you.
Ready?
I think it's impossible. It's never been done before.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's start with Al Michaels.
This is one of the most unbelievable days I've ever had. It's
talking about Willy Wonka.
Well, Willy Wonka was unbelievable. Yeah, I remember a time hanging out with the Oompa Loompas at the Chocolate River. Michael Jordan had stopped down, and you remember his airness, one of the finest guys ever to come into the league or into the Chocolate Factory for that.
See, what happens is when you're there, and you don't think you're going to be there. But then, Augustus Gloop shows up. There's nothing better than Augustus Gloop except for maybe a Baruch Assault. I mean, Baruch Assault and Augustus Gloop. the girl turned into a
poop.
What a great, occurrence that was. She ate the gobstopper. She turned into a giant blueberry. Then the Oompa Loompas doobity-doobity rolled her out of there. Mike TV, another great, great man.
Pause there, Robin Williams.
Great.
Oh, well, it's an amazing thing. And when you're talking about great, who can think of anything besides the Great Wall of China? If they would have had one of those in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, who knew? It would have been separated like North and South Korea. It would have been terrible. What are you thinking? Come on, man, get going. Who knew? And we're dancing. We're dancing. I was going to go into the fly and went into the wrong thing. Let me! Let me! There's a fly stuck in the chocolate river. How are you going to get it out? I have no idea what's happening
Adam
here.
Adam Sandler.
I think that what you should do is sing a song about it. Chocolate rivers make me feel good. I like eating chocolate pudding because I changed it.
Now, I don't know if there's a rule here, but I think I could go back to whoever I want.
You can always go back, yeah.
I want. Why not? That would have been a time because that was not a rhyme song. It seemed as though it was going to be rhyme, but it wasn't.
Farley.
Dear sweet heaven, there's a chocolate river and a television.
Chris Farley.
I am in heaven. I can't believe that Chris Farley just showed up here. Who knew that heaven would have Chris Farley showing up? I can't believe it. This is one of the best things I've ever seen. Talk about chocolate river and then I show up.
George
That's
got
to be some kind of crazy thing happening here. You talk about chocolate river and you talk about Chris Rock. The two of them show up because chocolate melts in your... It, in your hands, in your mouth, and in your hands, it stays solid. The end. See, what he did before was he talked about chocolate would melt in your mouth, but not in your hand. But Bush screws up those sayings. And because he's agile, you didn't even throw this one.
That was last.
You were going to try, but you didn't have. You got to be quicker here because haste makes time seem like it's going slower in a bottle.
Tonight.
Spalding. Get me a big spoon right now. I'm delving into the chocolate river, and I'm going for it big time.
See, you know, we're still on the Willy Wonka theme, and thank God you threw us the Willy Wonka. Oompa Loompa, doobity done.
This genius. Like, literally, when we hear listeners a lot say they had to pull over, they were laughing so hard. That was one where I was on my way to work. I was like, oh, my God. I was laughing. Fantastic.
As someone who does characters and imitations and all that stuff, for him to be able to transition that
on the
quickly
fly.
On the fly, like, it to this day, it blows me away.
Who came up with the idea?
His mind was working that quickly. I came up with the idea.
Fantastic.
Because I knew he'd be able to do it. And then I thought, what would be better if we gave him something to work off of? Because I know how it works. You got to have some content, some baseline to work off of. And I thought, there's no chance he doesn't know Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He's like a latchkey kid from the 80s. Yeah. And so I thought, this might be really good. And then it would end up being better than I even thought.
See, Nick had heard it for the first time. He was rolling, so it's still relevant today. It's fantastic.
Yeah, only now you'd have Morgan Freeman. Like, there'd be some John Gruden. There'd be updated voices.
Right, the ones that he's worked on since then. Yeah. Hey, man, I really appreciate you because it's a long day for you.
Yeah, I had fun. So tomorrow, Daryl Morey, 7:30, we'll find out about Melo. I'm going to press him on some stuff because, you know, my issue is I don't know that the Rockets are any closer to beating Golden State now. I don't have a problem
That's
with Melo at 2.4 million.
That's not Joel Blank today. That's awesome. I love hearing
why
that.
Why are y'all afraid? Is this going to get me
afraid,
in trouble?
I'm not afraid, but anytime I say anything, I am instantly
a
hater.
He's
going to
get it.
Is he really?
Every time.
We had a guy call up yesterday, X-Ray, that is he swears Carmelo is the answer. He's going to make everybody forget about everything. He forgot that D'Antoni and Carmelo had a falling out where D'Antoni quit because of Melo. He goes, show me that. There's no article. I go, well, you can Google it. There's this thing called Google. You can find it.
He didn't remember that?
No.
Oh.
He remembers the poster on his wall of Carmelo as a nugget.
Great. That Carmelo, I'm not sure that one's still around.
All right, Lance, it's been fun.
Right,
by the way, the theme for hour number three, the tough one that no one got, those were all songs from the movie Benchwarmers. Carmelo Anthony coming
now
to Houston.
I know why you're a hater.
Will he be a benchwarmer? We had a little fun at the end. But hey, Sean Salisbury would have told you every one of those songs. We got more to get to. It's the Blitz coming up next. It's Fred. It is AJ. And it is Tyler in for John, who's still on his honeymoon. Have fun. SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Have a great night, everybody.
Yeah, boy.